The Reverend David E. Bumbaugh is a professor of ministry at Meadville Lombard Theological School after first having a career as a congregational minister. He was ordained as a Universalist minister. In his article in the summer 2011 issue of UU World, he asks the following question. If we are to be the religious movement some of us dreamed 50 years ago, if we are to respond to the needs of the world from a liberal religious basis, it is critical that we be able to address and answer three central questions. What do we believe? Whom do we serve? And to whom or what are we responsible? Reverend Bumbaugh harkens back to the merger of the Unitarians and the Universalists. He delves into the theological differences between the Universalists and the Unitarians. The Universalists came into the merger with a statement of faith that they adopted in 1935, and it read, "We avow our faith in God as eternal and all-conquering love, in the spiritual leadership of Jesus, and the supreme worth of every human personality, in the authority of truth, known or to be known, and in the power of men of goodwill and sacrificial spirit to overcome all evil and progressively establish the kingdom of God." He continues to write, "The Unitarians came into the merger with a highly questionable marketing plan founded on a commitment to the central value of diversity. Much of the marketing plan, as Reverend Bumbaugh defines it, was based on the premise of not offending anybody. The Unitarians, like Jacob, have struggled mightily with God. Historically, they struggled with Unitarianism versus Trinitarianism. In the mid-19th century, they struggled with transcendentalism versus traditional faith-based beliefs. Theodore Parker veered towards deism. And in modern days, they struggled with a spiritual belief of a divine power versus the rational, humanist belief of enlightened scientific knowledge. So we have a denomination of many beliefs from theists among us who say, there is no evidence to suggest that there is no God, therefore I believe that there is a God. The atheists among us who say, there is no evidence to suggest that there is a God, therefore I believe that there is no God. These are basically the same belief from two sides of the same coin and are both a matter of faith. And then there are agnostics among us who don't know what to believe. Since the merger in the 1960s, our denomination has worked hard to implement the marketing plan, but one must ask, like Dr. Phil in the current vernacular, how's that been working for you? The answer is, not at all. And that brings us back to Reverend Bumbaugh's original questions. If we are to be the religious movement some of us dreamed 50 years ago, if we are to respond to the needs of the world from a liberal religious basis, it is critical that we be able to address and answer three central questions. What do we believe? Whom do we serve? And to whom or what are we responsible? This morning I would like to explore the first question. What do we believe? We pride ourselves as being a denomination without dogma. But underlying our principles, and whether we be theists, atheists, agnostics, Buddhists, or whatever, there is a core belief, and it is expressed mightily in the songs and hymns that we sing. Where do we come from? Who are we? Where are we going? Mystery, mystery. Life is a riddle and a mystery. As I look out onto this beautiful world we live in and see the magnificent blue sky, to see the trees and the flowers and the birds, I am struck with two thoughts. The first comes from Psalm 26. Lord, I love the beauty of thy house and the place where thy glory dwells. The second is a feeling of awe and mystery for the wonders of nature. But the rational, scientific mind says, there's no mystery here. Everything is explained by evolution, cosmic theory, and elegant mathematics. But let our rational and scientific minds explore that a little further. Let us start with our present situation and work our way backwards, first through evolution and then through the cosmos. We look at ourselves with our large, magnificent brains and contemplate how we are scientifically defined by our DNA and how we have descended from the great apes who have in turn descended from the monkeys. And from the monkeys, we go backwards through the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And we continue backwards through great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. We go back even further before animal life through grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, and their seed is in itself upon the earth. And we continue our backward trip through evolution to that one amino acid that created spontaneously from the water and minerals and ammonia that existed in the primordial stew and powered from the energy that radiated from the sun. The primordial stew was formed from the waters under the heaven gathered together unto one place. And beyond that, there was cosmic energy and chaos, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And all of this was the result of the Big Bang. Mystery solved. Or is it? As they say on late night TV direct mail infomercials, but wait! Okay, we had the Big Bang. What was the explosive? What was the detonator? How was the fuse lit? So even though we have rationally come to the Big Bang, the scientific explanation of existence and creation, we still have a mystery. Now, this mystery has been called by many names throughout history. Some called it Tao, some called it Brahma, some called it Isis, Ishtar, or the goddess. Some called it Yahweh, some call it God, some call it Allah, some call it Great Spirit, some call it Spirit of Life, and some call it Higgs boson. But whatever the name, it is not the mystery. As Lao Tzu, the ancient Chinese philosopher, said, the Tao that can be told is not the eternal Tao. The name that can be named is not the eternal name. Robert Fulghum, in his book, Uh-Oh, relates a story about a conversation that he had on an airplane with an Indian professor of hydrology. The Indian professor, and I'm quoting now from Robert Fulghum, noted that we had just left a country where people worshiped the sun on the beach and with most or all of their clothes removed, and we were flying over countries whose people believed it was the will of Allah that women should be completely covered, even on beaches. The name of God varied from country to country. The holy book was not the same. The rituals and dogmas and routes to heaven were not the same. And so certain were the followers of the different religions of their rectitude, they would gladly war with one another, kill each other, to have their beliefs and metaphors prevail. Yet in this same plane, flying peacefully along, are the same people. Clearly, this troubled the professor, grieved him. He shook his head and asked, why must this be so? The professor pointed out the Indian Ocean beneath us at that moment. He spoke of water, his specialty. Water is everywhere and in all living things. We cannot be separated from water. No water, no life. Water comes in many forms: liquid, vapor, ice, snow, fog, rain, hail, but no matter the form, it's still water. Human beings give this stuff many names and in many languages, in all its forms. It's crazy to argue over what its true name is. Call it what you will, there is no difference to the water. It is what it is. Human beings drink water from many vessels, cups, glasses, jugs, skins, their own hands, whatever. To argue about which container is proper for the water is crazy. The container doesn't change the water. Some like it hot, some like it cold, some like it iced, some fizzy, some with stuff mixed in with it, alcohol, coffee, tea, whatever. No matter, it does not change the nature of water. Never mind the name or the cup or the mix. These are not important. What we have in common is thirst. Thirst. Thirst for the water of life. As it is with water, so it is with God. So writes Robert Fulghum in one of his more serious moods. So it is with our mystery. Credo in unum Deo. Credo in unum mysterium. Our mystery, our God, is not transcendent. It does not exist far above in the heavens, looking down and directing our lives, looking for all the world like the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. Rather, our God, our mystery, is immanent, infused in all of creation. Everywhere we look, we find the mystery. Now, we all experience the mystery, but we all experience it differently. We experience the mystery of life through our senses, and we interpret our sensations with inspiration, intuition, and imagination. And since we all have different experiences and interpretations of the mystery, we cannot dogmatically define this mystery, no matter how hard we try. Our senses record our environment objectively. On the other hand, our inspiration, intuition, and imagination interpret our sensual records, our sensual records subjectively. This moves our experiences from our rational, conscious mind into our emotional self and our subconscious, the stuff that dreams are made of. Modern psychiatry affirms that only 10% of what we know and what we are is within our conscious mind, and 90% of what we know and what we are is in our subconscious, and our subconscious is integrally, that's easy for me to say, integrally tied in with our emotions. René Descartes said, "I think, therefore I am." He felt that we were sentient beings, but we are really emotional beings, and I believe Descartes should have said, "I feel, therefore I am." To achieve holiness, we must consciously integrate this mystery that many call God into our soul. The 13th century German mystic Meister Eckhart said, "The eye with which I see God is the very same eye with which God sees me." The eye with which I see God is the very same eye with which God sees me. We sing, "Spirit of life, come unto me," every Sunday. The choir frequently sings the early 19th century American Protestant hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." And as a member of the choir watching the congregation, watching you, I see rapturous faces and even a few tears as we sing this beautiful hymn. By integrating God into our souls, we become part of the collective consciousness. We affirm the interdependent web of all existence. And we open ourselves to receiving the sweet sounds of amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. We then allow ourselves to experience the full impact of the first of our living traditions, direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces which create and uphold life. To close, I would like to share with you a brief reading from Isabel Allende's book, Paula, which is at the same time a family history, an autobiography, and a journal of her daughter Paula's illness and death at age 28. She writes of Paula's death. She began to rise, and I with her, clinging to the cloth of her dress. Again, I heard Mame's voice. No one can go with her. She has drunk the potion of death. But I pushed upward with my last strength and grasped her hand, determined not to let go. And when we reached the top of the tower, I saw the roof open, and we ascended together. Outside, it was already dawn. The sky was streaked with gold, and the countryside beneath our feet gleamed, washed by a recent rain. We flew over valleys and fields and finally descended into a forest of ancient redwoods where a breeze rustled among the branches and the bold bird defied winter with its solitary song. Paula pointed to the stream. I saw fresh roses lying along its bank and a white powder of calcined bones on the bottom, and I heard the music of thousands of voices whispering among the trees. I felt myself sinking into the cool water and knew that the voyage through pain was ending in an absolute void. As I dissolved, I had the revelation that the void was filling with everything the universe holds, nothing and everything at once. Sacramental light and unfathomable darkness. I am the void. I am everything that exists. I am in every leaf of the forest and every drop of the dew, in every particle of ash carried by the stream. I am Paula, and I am also Isabel. I am nothing and all other things in this life and other lives immortal. Amazing grace, spirit of life, mystery. Hallelujah, amen.